I try to remind people of this. And so if you've heard this before, just sit there and say amen. But a lot of people's never heard this. I want you, if you will, turn to Matthew 12:40. Matthew 12:40. We call this the Easter season, when we celebrate the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to believe that to be saved. You have to receive that to be saved. And the last sermon was on the crucifixion of Jesus. This one is on the burial of Jesus Christ. Not many people talk about his burial. There's too much tradition wrapped up in the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's too much superstition and mysticism wrapped up in it. Nobody wants to make waves. A lot of people don't even study it. There's preacher after preacher and pastor and evangelist that they just keep repeating what somebody's told them or they read it somewhere else. And it's not in the Bible. But they'll go ahead and preach it like it's the truth because they've never searched it to see whether it's true or not. So tonight I want to teach you truth. It's truth. It's not well known because naturally since the teachers and the preachers don't teach it and the members don't read it on their own. But have you ever wondered? Well, let me read the scripture first. Okay. Matthew 12:40. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, he says this, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, John 2:19 says this. Jesus was talking, and Jesus said this in verse 19. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple." He was talking about his body. "Destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up." As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, well, Jonah was in the whale's belly. But why would he say that? Why would he say that? Well, because that's what it was. That's the truth. To the Jew, you had to be dead 3 days because they thought maybe the spirit could come back and revive you if you hadn't been dead. 3 days was proof. After that third day, it was proof. They were sure you were dead. And I can imagine that because I've read stories of people, especially in Europe, in the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church ruled the known world and they didn't want people to read the Bible or get educated, so they wouldn't even teach them how to read and write. So people would die or they would think they were dead and doctor would come bleed them to see if he could raise them. You know, that'd usually kill them. And then they'd pronounce you dead and you'd be in a coma, a deep coma. And they buried people, and later on, these people, for some reason, you know, if their grave got dug up and the casket got opened, they'd find claw marks on the inside of the lid of the casket. And sometimes they'd pronounce somebody dead and have a funeral, and before they got them in the ground, they'd raise up. And it's because they weren't dead. Now, 3 days you begin to decay. 3 days, you begin to decay. Matter of fact, the Europeans got so bad about it that they would put a little pipe down through the ground into the top of that casket with a string on it in the casket around the person's finger, and they'd put a bell on a stick on top of the grave so if that person was not dead, they could ring that bell. Now, I don't know if it ever happened or not, but I'm telling you, 3 days is proof that someone's dead, all right? Now, so the Jew would not believe a man was dead until he'd been dead 3 days. So here it is. Jesus said, like Jonah in the belly of the whale, 3 days and 3 nights, he would be in the heart of the earth, in the ground, under the dirt for 3 days and 3 nights. Now, let me ask you something. Do you want Catholic Church tradition, superstition, or do you want biblical truth? Now you gotta remember, everything the Catholic Church does it in a subtle way, but what it's really doing is it's taking you back to the Babylonian religion. And they had a God for everything, and they had a God for the time. Somebody says, and the critics of the King James Bible say the word Easter shouldn't be in there because Easter was a pagan holiday. It was not a Christian holiday, and that's the truth. It was named after the goddess Ishtar. And they believed that she had a son that died and rose from the dead. Now, there was no proof of that. But that's where that name come from. So critics of the King James Bible said that we shouldn't call it Easter because that is a heathen holiday. So I agree. I call it Resurrection Sunday. But the reason it's in the King James Bible is to let us know that's the day on the heathen calendar that it happened. Okay? So the Catholics have taught us for hundreds and hundreds of years that Jesus was crucified on a Friday. And then they name it Good Friday. Well, if he was crucified, number one, it wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be a good Friday. That would be a bad Friday that you put the Son of God to death. But then they have him coming up at sunrise on Sunday morning. And there's no way you can get 3 nights and 3 days between Friday and Sunday. There's no way. So they try to twist that around and justify it. But do you want Catholic tradition or do you want biblical truth? I want biblical truth. Do you want Friday for his burial because the Catholic Church, who's lied to you about everything else, has said that, or do you want biblical truth because the Bible teaches it? Now, I want to give you biblical proof. Now, before we get started, you need to realize this. The Jewish day and the Jewish calendar is different than ours because we adopted the Roman calendar and the Roman time. Their day started every day. Their every day starts at sundown, 6, around sundown, 6 o'clock every day. Their next day starts at 6 this afternoon. Matter of fact, it hadn't been long started. We're no longer in Wednesday. We're in Thursday on the Jewish time. So you got to look at it that way. All right? Remember that. Today from 6 until tomorrow at 6 p.m., it's going to be Thursday. You got me? And it's that way every day from now on. So you got to remember that. Now, to the Roman calendar, tonight at midnight, 1 second after midnight, starts Thursday. So actually, we are 6 hours behind the Jewish day. Anyway, I know that gets kind of complicated, but think about it. So, I want to read you some scriptures and say, tell you why I know that Jesus was buried on a Wednesday, not a Friday. Okay? And you say, well, why is it important? Because he said it. Well, why make a big deal out of it, preacher? Because he said it. And if it's not true, then he's a liar. And why pervert something that he plainly said? Unless you got a tradition or a pagan holiday you want to mix in there with it, like Easter. Okay? If you got your Bible, turn to Luke 22, verse 1. Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Now, look at verse 8 in that same chapter. Look at verse 8. We'll read verse 8 through 19. It's long, long, I know, but listen. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you're entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? and he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, would you agree with me? They're about to celebrate the Jewish Passover. And remember, that's the time that Moses, God told Moses to put blood on all the doorposts, and everybody in the house would be saved from the death angel that was to come through Egypt, and then the next day he'd lead them out. I'm sure you remember that. It's called the Passover. That's the day that the death angel passed over every house that had the blood of a lamb on the door. You remember that? And that represents Christ coming. And now here he is. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus had sat down and he said, now, I'm the Passover. This is my blood. This is my flesh. That's what it represents. Because he came to give his life so that we could be saved and the death angel would pass over us and we could go to heaven. Now, I want you to turn to, if you will, to see the origination, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse 15. Exodus chapter 12. I'm talking about Wednesday or Friday. Roman Catholic tradition or biblical truth. And by the way, all Protestants came out of the Roman Catholic Church. They still have an affinity for that church. They still practice some of those things at the Catholic Church. They brought it out with them. And look, so naturally they have this. But we of all people as Baptists ought to know better because we have a book and that's all we go by. The book. The Word of God. Now, Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse 15. 7 days, remember that. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day, and by the way, their first month is April. That's their first month on Jewish calendar. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations, ye shall eat unleavened bread. Now, preacher, why'd you tell us all that? Well, that is the Holy Week. That's the Holy Week. That whole week, God set aside and he said, I'm going to do this so you'll remember how the death angel passed over you and you've got all the leaven out of your house, which represents sin, things of the world. You got all that out of the house. You ate unleavened bread. That's why we do it at the Lord's Supper. And you drank pure grape juice, or they called it wine in the Bible, but it's unfermented grape juice, pure. And then for 7 days, 7 days, he called them holy days, all seven. Now, for some reason, the people that call Good Friday, They say that he had to be crucified on Friday because the Passover was coming. But I got news for you. That whole week was a holy week. And the Passover was the high holy day that that passage mentions. So the holy week is the whole week. 7 days, he said. So these Jews were observing the Passover feast and the holy time of that whole week of the Passover. It was a high Sabbath. It was not Saturday. People get that confused. Well, they had to hurry up and get him in the ground before the Sabbath. Go back and read it. It says high Sabbath, not just the Sabbath. The Sabbath, yes, starts at Friday at sundown, 6 o'clock. The Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, that's Saturday, 6 o'clock Friday afternoon for us. And yes, people said, well, they got to get him off the cross because it said they had to take him down before the Sabbath. Yeah, but the Sabbath they're talking about was way back on Thursday. The whole week was a Sabbath. So we can't say that Saturday was the reason they took him off the cross on Friday because it mentioned a Sabbath. The whole week was a Sabbath, okay? Get that straight in our heads. It was a yearly Passover celebration. Go to Exodus chapter 12 again, verse 16. I'm trying to teach you something, not so much preach as teach. Exodus chapter 12, verse 16. And the devil don't like this, by the way. And religious people don't like this. I have Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. Every Sunday. If you want to call it Easter, I celebrate Easter every Sunday. That's the day he rose from the grave, the third day. He got up and walked out. So, look at Exodus chapter 12 again. Look at verse 16. He says, And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day shall ye be in a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them all 7 days, save that which every man must eat. It means you can gather up something to eat, and that only may be done of you. Nobody can buy it for you. You got to go get it yourself. Now, so what's he saying? This whole week is the high Sabbath he's talking about. This whole week is a holy week. We don't wait till Friday and crucify Jesus and put him in the grave because they had to crucify and put him in the grave before the Sabbath. We know that the Jews didn't do that. They didn't bury people on the Sabbath. We know that. But that's not the reason. The reason is because most of these people teaching this don't know that the whole week was a Sabbath and that one day they had to get him in before the Passover. They had to get him in before the Passover, which was not Friday. Okay? There were 7 days of holy days. You know what that means? There were 7 days devoted to God. Everybody quit work. Everybody quit everything for 7 days. The Passover was a high Sabbath. There are several high Sabbaths mentioned in the Old Testament. He had to be crucified and taken down before that high Sabbath, not normal Sabbath. He had to be crucified and taken down, which was the Passover. Now, I want you to think about this. If you'll think from 6 to 6, okay, remember Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., 24 hours. Sundown to sundown, 6 p.m., 6 p.m. Think about this. Wednesday, they crucified him. And by Wednesday before 6 o'clock, they put him in the grave because another day started. That was Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. When they went to the graveyard, what we call Sunday morning, which their Sunday really started at 6 sundown, but we call that Sunday morning. When they got there at sunup, they found the tomb empty. He was already up and gone. He got up before the sun got up. That's why I don't have sunrise services. I'm not worshiping the sun. That's a Roman Catholic tradition brought by the Babylonian religious people that created the Roman Catholic Church. And they worship the sun, and they worship the son of the sun, and the wife of the sun, and I don't have sunrise service. Now you can. I'm not condemning you if you do. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But according to my Bible knowledge, I'm not doing that. Because I know he got up before the sun got up. You know how I know? Because he was crucified on Wednesday, put in the ground about dark, right before dark. So he laid in the grave Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. He was gotten up and gone. There's no way you can put a man in the grave Friday evening and get him up Sunday morning and have 3 days and three nights. And you say, preacher, what's the big deal? Biblical truth is the big deal. Where are we going to look for our final authority, the Roman Church or the Word of God? The Roman Church has killed more Christians than anybody else in this, than anybody ever claimed to be a heathen or an unbeliever. The Roman Church has killed more Christians, persecuted more true Christians than any other organization on planet Earth. Now, I know it's real sweet. It sounds real sweet to have Good Friday and all this stuff. But you know, even if it was true, there was nothing good about it. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sins nailed Jesus Christ, the pure, perfect Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God. They beat him and they crucified him and they spit on him. And God laid our sins on him on that tree. And he was so tore up and beat up, the Bible says you wouldn't even recognize him, according to Isaiah, as a man. They beat him till his entrails fell out on the ground. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. They destroyed his face, says you wouldn't even recognize him. Why would that be a good day? That's a terrible day. Now, the good day is on that third day when Jesus got up from the grave. And God said, okay, I've accepted the sacrifice. He took the payment. Now whosoever will may be saved. That's the good day. Now I'm going to celebrate this Sunday. I'm going to celebrate it. Now I grew up outside of church. I didn't know nothing about church, but two times a year, Christmas and Easter Sunday, our family all got together. Children, in-laws, all of us got together at Mama's house, and Mama would cook a big old ham and a big meal. I think my wife's going to do that. I hope she is. And cook a big old ham and a big meal and deviled eggs. I love deviled eggs, you know. And Mama would boil some eggs and put them in dye, you know, and we'd go out there and hide and hunt eggs. We didn't know what all that meant. We just knew we was having a good time, and sometimes if the dog got there before we did, he had a good time. We didn't know what all this stuff meant. We didn't know what Good Friday meant. We didn't know what Easter Sunday meant. We heard that Jesus rose from the dead, but that didn't mean anything to us. But then March the 5th, 1978, when I accepted his death, burial, and resurrection in my place for my sins, and I believed on him, and his finished work on the cross, and God said it was okay when he got up. When I did that, he opened my eyes of understanding and my ears that I could hear and my eyes I could see and my heart so I could receive it. And I began reading the Bible and I saw there's a lot of tradition, myth, and superstition in church. And you can call me anything you want to, but I'm going to go by the Bible. I'm going to go by Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to go by John 19:31. I'm going to go by Matthew 12:40 when Jesus said that he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I'm going to go by the Bible when it says that he would be crucified for my sins and rise again the third day. I don't care what your church says. I don't care what the Catholic Church says. If there's a Baptist church that teaches that, I don't care what they say. I want to know what the Bible says. It set me free. I have no traditions. I have no superstitions. Thank God. I've got the finished perfect word of God. And that's what I'm going to go by. And I want you to go by that and preach. Why is that so important? Because look, if you can be wrong on this, then you can be wrong on salvation. That's right. If he did not fulfill the prophecy of the sign of Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights, then the Bible is not true, and it's all a fairy tale, and let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we're going to die and go to hell. But I know it's true. I know it's true, true through experience, and I know it's true through history, and I know it's true through the leading of the Holy Ghost himself. I know it's true. So I'm not taking untruth for anything. I got friends, they're going to have sunrise services. God bless you. It's going to be a good year to do it. Usually you freeze to death sitting out there waiting on the sun to come up. It's been real warm lately. And I'm going to have a resurrection Sunday all day long. But wait a minute. I have those every Sunday. Every Sunday is a great Sunday to me. Every Sunday I remember his sinless life, his vicarious atonement, his bodily resurrection. I remember every Sunday that he ascended up to heaven and now he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God interceding for me and you. I remember that every Sunday. You don't have to mark something on the calendar to get me to do that. It's the Lord's Day is resurrection day every Sunday. Matter of fact, the early church, they taught against observing special days. The Apostle Paul taught against observing days and seasons and feasts and moons and things like that. Not that you can't celebrate some things, but you can't put your salvation on an untruth of your Savior being crucified and buried on a Friday and resurrecting 2 days later on a Sunday. When he said it'd be 3 days. Now, one of them's got to be wrong. Either your tradition's wrong or the Bible's wrong, and I'm going to go with the Bible, and you do whatever you want to. Let me read you something, and I'll quit. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to turn there. Now, what was the first thing he told him to do when we were reading there in Exodus? What did he tell him to do in Exodus 12? He told him to get rid of the leaven. Get the leaven out of your house. Leaven's what you put into bread to make it rise when it cooks. Leaven is. So leaven is an additive. And God uses leaven as an example of an impurity being put into something pure. And that's true. You get grape juice. The only way you can make it into alcoholic wine is to add an impurity to it and let it ferment or rot. And then you'll get alcohol in your wine. I don't believe Jesus drank that either. Leaven represents all of our sin, the things in our life that would puff us up and make us think that we were good enough to be saved or too good to need a Savior and too proud to look to God. That's leaven. Look what he said. Not only in Exodus, but look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, as ye are unleavened. In other words, he'd made you pure. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now he's the one that gets the leaven out of us. He's our sacrifice. He is that Lamb of God that John the Baptist talked about, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the one that's going to shed his precious blood. By the washing of blood, we're regenerated. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. It's the blood of Jesus. And then we sing another song, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Now, if you mess up any of this, you might as well mess it all up because you've put leaven in it. If you add some kind of church tradition or some kind of religious ceremony to it that's not in the Word of God, you're adding a leavening, type of leavening of something in this world, and it makes your religion impure and defiled. And God won't take that sacrifice of praise and offering. You couldn't bring a blemished lamb to the temple to be sacrificed. God wouldn't have it. You couldn't bring a crippled turtle dove that couldn't fly. God wouldn't have it. You couldn't bring a goat or a cow that had a disease. God wouldn't have it. It was impurity in that. You can't give God something that's impure. He won't have it. And we'll do the same thing about this Easter season. You can call it that. I don't care. But if he rose from the grave like he said, we got to say it the way he said it. 3 days, 3 nights, or either we're contaminating the doctrine with some other doctrine that makes it impure with the leaven of other religion, and God won't accept it. Preacher, why are you so upset about this? Because I grew up godless. And I grew up in a home where we didn't celebrate any kind of Christianity at all. We talked about Christmas, but it's more about Santa Claus. We listened to the Christmas music, but we liked riding in a one-horse open sleigh better than we did away in the manger. We didn't know what that meant. We had no religion at all. We had superstition. We had a lot of superstition. But we didn't have any religion, much less Christianity. And then when I got saved, God put deep down in my heart His Spirit through His Word, and I've got a love for the Word of God that I've never had for anything else like this. And I love it. You know why? Because it's pure and it's undefiled. My old King James Bible. And I want to stick to that. I don't want to add anything to it. I don't want to take anything away from it. And I don't want to teach anybody to do that. And I don't want to just stand by while people are misled or mistaught. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to keep teaching this. It was not Good Friday. It wasn't. There's no way you can bury anybody 3 days, 3 nights, bury him on Friday and get him up before sunup Sunday morning. No way. So, do you want biblical truth or do you want church tradition? Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you go with biblical truth. You're going to lose some church tradition friends, and you may even lose your church altogether. What's the old song say? I'd rather have Jesus. And by the way, he told you that was going to happen anyway if you became his follower. Now, we're not going to get to hell. Resurrection Sunday, I call it. And I've thought about it all day. Today was the day they beat him. Today was the day they crucified my Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen. Listen real close. Sunday, I'm going to have Resurrection Sunday. And this disease, this virus going around is not going to interrupt my Resurrection Sunday. I've had it every day since the day I was saved. Now, I think this is the first time that I've been out of church as an assembly. I didn't get to have church services, but I'm still going to preach and teach and believe and revel in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because, see, I don't need a sunrise service to do that. And I don't need church tradition to do that. I've got the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God and God the Father and God the Son. And me and my wife can have church right here. But I'm not going to let anybody deceive my flock to teach them that there's such a thing as Good Friday when that is a superstitious Babylonian lie. Now get mad at me if you want. But I love you and I want you to know the truth because truth sets you free and you'll quit putting so much stock in those traditions. You'll quit doing that. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word tonight. I'm not mad at anybody. I just want people to know the truth. And I don't like the people that teach them untruth, superstition, tradition, fake. Lord, the truth has set us free. We shouldn't be bound by these traditions of men. My grandkids are going to hunt Easter eggs. They ain't got no idea that it has anything to do with the resurrection. And they're going to eat the candy out of them if the dog don't get it first. And Lord, we'll have an Easter dinner at my house if I can get anybody to come. We're going to eat some ham and string beans and mashed potatoes, a potato salad. It's going to be good, but those don't have a thing to do with my salvation. They're going to be a family celebration. So Lord, bless our church while we're apart. Bless us, Lord. Protect this little flock. Have mercy on those who are sick. Don't let the wolves come in while they're at home, Lord. And then shorten this thing, Lord. We need to have church again. And we beg you, Lord, that you'll give us an old-fashioned church service in just a few days, and we'll celebrate your resurrection. Lord, I pray for those who are in darkness that don't know any better, that you'd send the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.